The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hello and welcome to this Right Stand podcast. I'm Anand Narasimhan. 2,582 days later, there is a death warrant that's been finally issued. 2,582 days after Nirbhaya was brutally gang-raped. More than 5 years after a death sentence was pronounced, there is a death warrant that's been issued. And what does the family have from the lower court, that is the Patiala House Court? Another tariq. Is this justice? Or is this denial of justice? That's a question all of us need to think. The long arm of the law finally catches up. That's what they say. But how long? Especially when it is open and shut cases, where the crime, the criminals, the entire act itself have been proven beyond doubt. All courts have upheld the facts presented. Then why this delay? Why should a family have to wait for 2,582 days to get justice from the legal system in our country? Especially when it is an open and shut case, especially when it was such a brutal crime that it shook the conscience, the very foundations of our country. How is it going to deter any rapist if no rapist who's been convicted and sentenced to death has till date been hung, despite capital sentence being upheld in the rarest of rare cases? The sad part of all of this is that despite the death warrant, Nirbhaya's family, Nirbhaya's mother, today was only happy, more than happy, she was relieved. There was no jubilation, there was no elation, because she has now seen it all wither away in front of her. So many times there has been that sense of closure, and so many times it's been delayed. This is not the first time that a death warrant has been issued. This hopefully will not be another time when a death warrant was stayed by a higher court, even at the last minute. Imagine a case of the Nithari murders, where the guilty have been pronounced or sentenced with multiple death sentences. Will you believe me if I tell you that a death warrant was stayed at 4:30 a.m. for the warrant to be executed at 5 a.m.? And till date, the perpetrators of the Nithari murders have not yet been hung. The story for us is the legal system and the delays within the legal system. Yes, we may allow 100 guilty to go, but not a single innocent should be punished. That perhaps is the theory or the crux of the law of the land. But can we allow 100 rapists to get away? Can we allow 100 rapists, especially those who have committed such gruesome, brutal crimes like that against Nirbhaya, to get away? Will that give families a sense of closure and justice and faith in the legal system? India needs to think, why is it that we as a country celebrated the encounter of the rapists of that doctor in Hyderabad, the 27-year-old? We did that because families were losing faith in the justice system. We look to our justice system to give us justice, to give us a sense of closure, that the law has punished the guilty adequately. In this case, the punishment was decided more than 5 years ago. In this case, the punishment has been upheld by all courts, and a petition has been rejected by the president himself. Yet, even now, the law actually works in favor of the accused and the convicted, giving them 14 days to sort out their matters, also to look at and knock the doors of a higher court of appeal. And what if the higher court of appeal gives another tariq? What if suddenly the higher court says, "Hamare paas bahut sare cases pending, abhi iske liye time hai"? What will you think? Should we not place ourselves in Asha Devi's feet, Nirbhaya's mother's place? Place ourselves there and let us think. Remember the story of Kenan and Reuben, what happened to them? What their father had to do? What Nitish Katara's mother, Neelam Katara, had to do? The story of Jessica Lal, is there been closure? Arushi Talwar, 5 people are out. Any of them could have murdered her. But all of them are out because of reasonable doubt. Our justice system is not only there to protect the innocent, because the law believes that you're innocent until proven guilty. But what after you're proven guilty? Where is the punishment? Where is the deterrence? The law has been made to act as a deterrent against rape. But is it acting as a deterrent? That's the question we need to ask. And that's why tonight we ask. Sentence and warrant, both of death. But will they hang? Debate number 2 focuses on campus violence that's now become a political fist fight. Can a mob have an ideology? Is a question that I'm asking. What ideology was behind this so-called mob that attacked the JNU campus? Ladies and gentlemen, student politics, all of us have been through it. There are factions, there is student violence, campus fracas happens. We've all been either part of it or witness to it. But it taking such a political turn that it has now become the story of the government versus opposition. A fight of ideologies, left versus right. Yes, it happens in campuses. And let me tell you, JNU is a left-dominated campus. The SFI and the ISA outnumber the ABVP by 4 times. And largely JNU students are apolitical. So if there are 300 students who indulge in student politics, there are 800 out of 1100, I'm just saying a hypothetical number, who steer clear, who are there to study, finish their studies and get a degree and get out. Now, in a situation where the left-backed student wing outnumbers the right-backed student wing by 1:4, can the right-backed student wing actually bring in a mob of 50 to beat up the left-backed student wing? It's a straight case of a student fight, a political fight in campus. There was a run-up, there was a build-up where registrations were blocked. They were stopped on the first. There were students who were physically threatened. The students who were intimidated, they were stopped. The VC's office and, of course, the server rooms were blocked when online registrations happened. All of that is out. And then thereafter on the 5th, happens this entire sequence of violence where both the ABVP and ISA, the left and the right, are claiming that the other person did it, and there are people who have started taking positions for or against each of these sides. But my question is, how is it that it was planned on both sides? How is it that there are social media messages which are doing the rounds from both sides? Ek keh raha, comrade, tum rod leke aana. Dusra keh raha, aaj in communisto ko chhodenge nahi. So clearly, both of them gave it to somebody. But who started it in the first place? Will you, if you are a mob, want a video of yours walking against to be taken? How is it that there is a video of a mob walking with sticks and with wearing masks coming out? We need to ask these questions. How is it that there are students blocking the server room and only the ISA leader's face is not covered? Rest of them are all wearing masks. How is it that during Jamia protests, there were messages that were doing the rounds that have been caught and identified by the police were saying that you wear masks and do all the ruckus so that there is no facial recognition? Now you tell me, ladies and gentlemen, should campus politics be left in campus? Or are there certain factions which are trying to use campus politics to claw their way back into recognition? Is there a larger political narrative deliberately being built? And surprise, surprise, those who questioned the police sakti and action in Jamia are now asking, police andar kyun nahi gayi? Jamia mein pucha, police andar kyun gayi? Yahan pooch rahe, police andar kyun nahi gayi? Police to dono taraf se pitegi. बजाना तो उनको है ही, करो तो गए, नहीं किया तो भी गए. SOS went at 4:30. Cops say they got permission to enter at 7:45. And it was a free for all for 2.5 hours. Who's hurt? The university. Who's hurt? The students who didn't want politics but they wanted to study. Who gains? We'll debate that tonight.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.